Good morning, I'm Bill Hubert, Chief Economist at Trade.com. Welcome to our weekly market review, appearing here on Tip TV. And my special guest this morning is Mark Oswald, Chief Strategist at ADM Securities. Thank you, Mark, for joining us. Mark, I know we're probably still so excited, and hence the reason my mistakes earlier this morning on the Fed's announcement last evening. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
I think it was largely as I expected. I think there were a lot of people who thought that they might be more responsive to the weaker run of data that we've had above all that weak GDP number. But instead, they seemed to emphasize that they saw that as transitory, as they call it.
Now, how do you going into the meeting, did you think the GDP data, maybe the retail sales data, was transitory and we'd start seeing a sizable improvement in the second quarter?
I think it's a reasonable assumption if you look at past trends in recent years. However, there is a headwind blowing in the auto sales sector, which we've seen also this week. We've had a fairly precipitous drop now from an 18.43 million rate record in December down to 16.88 for the latest month, which isn't a bad reading. However, if it doesn't pick up markedly in Q2, then the idea that personal consumption is going to pick up is probably pushing on a fairly short piece of string. On the other hand, I guess the big question for the Fed is, would they perhaps welcome that? Because a lot of this, the auto purchases have been basically accumulating more consumer debt.
Yes.
And would they welcome a slowdown in consumer debt accumulation if, on the other hand, the point which they made very forcefully yesterday, business investment starts to pick up? Because obviously business investment in dollar terms is far more significant.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then even though perhaps the personal consumption slowdown doesn't prove to be as transitory as they're suggesting, GDP will nevertheless pick up in Q2, and that would be certainly a justification for moving again in June.
Well, Mark, I know I was talking to a couple of people this morning, basically talking about, as you just mentioned, you know, with the sort of the Fed Reserve being transitory and confusing, and I don't think too many people out there probably remember our good friend Alan Greenspan. This is probably more than 20 years ago when his semi-annual Humphrey Hawkins, and he basically always gives a speech, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he ended it with basically talking to the senator saying, well, if you understood what I said, maybe you weren't listening. Was the Fed like that last night? Or, and one of the things, let's look at the next chart, okay? Since the 23rd of June last year, when the market got it, let's say that the prognosticators got it dramatically wrong about Brexit, and then, of course, they continue that run with Trump. First, was it the politics, and now is it geopolitics having more of an effect on than the economic numbers?
I think the geopolitics and the politics at a national level have definitely had a huge impact. The market suddenly got a shock, obviously, last year, as you said. And they've been running scared of all these elections that we've got in Europe this year. Now that the French one appears to be going...
And we see that. Yeah, that looks like a...
The right way, so to speak. It's not going to deliver us a shock. Markets are that now in a situation where they're looking for the next one. We could still have an Italian election this year.
Yes, exactly.
We've got the German elections, but Mrs. Merkel looks to be way ahead. So suddenly, we're back to the same old problem that people have had. We are in an era of financial repression. Interest rates
just
remain low.
Up here, you know, we've talked about, and one of the points that you were talking about earlier, again, the PCE, deflator, inflation, et cetera, et cetera. So, as we see right now with crude oil struggling in the mid, very low 50s, how then important is this May 25th meeting on OPEC?
I think it's very important because at the end of the day, if we were to see oil drift down towards the low 40s, then you're actually going to see that having quite a substantial effect on consumer price indices around the world. In the UK, the Bank of England will be certainly very thankful
yes.
for that. But there will be a response from the central banks, because if they were to see not necessarily concerns about a disinflationary or deflationary yes. trend, as we saw in 2015, 2016, they would nevertheless feel that they don't need to push so hard on the pedal of removing some
well,
of the accommodation.
Well, then, okay, as you just said, deflation, right? Going into that meeting, could all of a sudden the Trump reflation, deflation, inflation trade reappear?
If OPEC were to extend for 6 months, then I mean,
that's what the market, I think it's more than a 50-50 chance. Don't you think they'll extend it to the end of the year?
I think they probably need to, because at the moment, the way the oil market's trading is a lot of people are not believing that they will. And secondly, they're also very skeptical about adherence to this production cut. So if they don't do that, then you are drift back. If, on the other hand, they do, then you'll probably see a pickup. There is one caveat, however, on this, because part of the whole sort of reflation trade was the assumption that China and the USA were going to see a pickup in demand for raw materials. The question now is, will China actually, with its clampdown on leverage, with its clampdown on yes. credit after huge injections that we've seen over the last 2 years, start to have an impact, and particularly in things like industrial metals and oil?
I was going to say, maybe we shouldn't discuss this with the Reserve Bank of Australia, because as we saw yesterday, the Aussie dollar trading at a three-month low against the U.S. dollar. Now, again, after this sort of transitory comments from the Fed last night, what do Fed fund futures now imply for the 14th of June? And let's look at the next chart.
Well, that's really quite a remarkable chart, because the market was already before the Fed meeting discounting, you know, basically a two-thirds chance, which is a lot of certainty. It's enough for the Fed to hike. But now it's moved to 97.5%. And they are basically, I think what it really tells us is there's been a change in the way that the market reacts to the Fed ever since particularly that two-week period before the March meeting. Whereas last year, you could, and the year before, you could argue that the market was leading the Fed.
Yes.
Whenever it saw a bit weak bit of data, it was basically going to the Fed, oh, no, you don't, in terms of a rate hike. Now, the Fed's turned around and said, we see this as transitory. We still see, you know, we're on course for what we've set out, which is two more rate hikes this year. And the market stands to attention and says, yes, sir. The question for the rest of this quarter, leading up to that June 13, 14 yes. FOMC meeting, is whether market skepticism re-emerges as we see incoming data, and whether the data sees inflation staying at current levels, whether it sees a pickup in overall activity.
Well, tomorrow, as we know, non-farm payrolls, okay? My call is like 175,000, unchanged on the 4.5% rate. Average earnings probably 0.3 to 0.4. Okay, if we get that, it would be the 79th consecutive positive month. Okay, we haven't seen a run like that since, you know, General Eisenhower was president. Okay, and also the simple fact is, would this then be conducive that we I don't know whether we're going to blame it on late Easter or weather related, you know, and the simple fact that the GDP number was abysmal for the first quarter?
Oh, it certainly was. And I think, you know, if we get a pickup, if we see that sort of around recent average for the past year and a half, 175, 190 type reading, then I think it's probably safe to assume that, you know, people will feel comfortable that Q2 is seeing the pickup, which, you know, is being predicted at the moment. So no doubt about that. And on that basis, they will carry on pricing in another rate hike in June. With the degree of certainty that they've got at the moment.
Now, looking at December, again, after the slight pickup yesterday, I mean, we're still looking probably well over 60%, and I know December is a long way off, probability for December. Now, I know everybody's starting to talk about, even with several of the Fed governors talking about, well, we'd sort of like to reduce our balance sheet. And I know I was talking to somebody, you know, yesterday afternoon. I still feel we'll get a rate hike in June, again on the 17th of December. And my feeling is a lot of these people talking about, well, if the Fed starts reducing their balance sheet, that's probably worth about, you know, 0.2 rather than a full 25 basis point. But again, I said, well, that I would probably agree with that if Fed funds were at 7%. But at Fed funds at this rate, I think probably they would only be worth maybe a 0.2 or 0.3 rather than anything meaningless.
Yes, it's worth a few basis points in tightening terms. The real impact that it has, and this is where we need to combine it with what happens with the rollback on Dodd-Frank, which would free up some reserves, is in terms of the amount of extra cash which is floating around markets. And if you look at the behavior of financial markets, be that equities, be that high yield credit at the moment, all you see is people desperately wanting to get out of cash as long as there's not a real risk event,
yes,
like, say, the French election standing in front of them. And once we've cleared the French elections, there probably won't be that many risk events other than perhaps that OPEC meeting. So balance sheet reduction, I think the main reason that they want to get it underway this year is actually far more political again.
Now, let's look at our last chart again about the Canadian dollar. I mean, as we've seen right now, you know, how high can it go? I mean, I'm in the feeling, you know, unless we get a major move in oil and this, that, and the other, you know, and I know we've got the lumber problem. You know, I'm in the 138 to 140 level, okay? Where do you see the Canadian dollar going, and what could the Bank of Canada do and try to stem this?
Well, I think part of the reason we've got that, obviously the trade dispute on lumber was a trigger. The weaker oil price is another trigger. We've also got this additional problem that the housing market in Canada, which has been hugely overheated for a long time, is also creating problems, which in turn makes people think about, well, it's unusual, but perhaps the Bank of Canada, because the economy is not responding so well and the resource sector isn't doing well, we know business investment isn't great, and we also know consumer spending is very reliant on credit. Perhaps the Bank of Canada could lag the Fed by 100 to 150 basis points. And we all know at the end of the day, most FX traders look at rate differentials, and if they see that sort of rate differential opening up, then it's bad news for the Canadian dollar.
That you just mentioned, okay, because basically, right or wrong, we don't want to upset Mark Carney, basically the head of the Bank of Canada basically just sort of like is like the 13th Federal Reserve Bank, okay, and basically they move in conjunction with the state. So, I mean, the simple fact is, so knowing the market feeling that we are going to be going on the 14th of June, do you see this now heading even higher?
I think the risk at the moment, if the current constellation of weaker oil prices, housing market problems, and general resource sector problems, and weak, you know, a generally sluggish economy in Canada, it could go a lot worse. Because if people really feel that the Bank of Canada may not move rates till, say, the middle of next year,
yes,
and they could be at least 125 basis points behind the Fed, then really, why would you want to hold on to the Canadian dollar if there isn't a positive investment story?
Well, the last thing, and very briefly, with our good friends at the Bank of England, is now Mark Carney going to get betwixt in between with sort of the love signals being given from Theresa May to the European Union?
I think he'll be wary, even more wary now, that there could be a nasty shock for the UK economy, even though one has to stress when one looks at the incoming survey data for the UK for April, that little drift back that we saw in GDP doesn't look like it's going to be something which is an ongoing phenomenon, but rather we're going to see quite a marked pickup. And then if you see inflation picking up here, then the market is going to be looking at the Bank of England and saying, well, you keep on telling us that, you know, the economy might fall to pieces, but we can't actually see it. Why aren't you hiking rates? And if they don't, then the pound could come under quite a lot of pressure.
So, Mark, basically, if we get the expected number of non-farm payrolls tomorrow well above the 150,000 level, so then it's going to be a situation where we're expecting the Fed to hike. My feeling is, right now, I don't expect the Bank of England until May of next year. The ECB confused everybody last week by being slightly dovish. But is it a situation where, again, will it go back to politics / geopolitics probably being head of the queue?
To a certain extent, I think the biggest story at the moment in terms of the ECB is the growth story. You know, we're looking now that Q2 GDP could be something in the region of 0.7%. Or in US terms, 2.8% annualized. And, you know, people don't think that the Eurozone economy can grow more than 0.5% if it's doing well. So suddenly you've got not only inflation returning roughly to normal, But you've also got a growth pickup story, and it could be that instead of either the Bank of Canada or the Bank of England being the first to follow the Fed, it could be the ECB, and that might be the big story for Q2.
Well, we'll leave it with that. Mark, thank you very much, and we'll see you next month. Thank you very much for watching.